We're seated this morning, and our text comes from the book of John, chapter 4, verse 18. And the word of the Lord says this: "For thou hast had five husbands, and he whom thou now hast is not thy husband, in that thou saidest truly." What a weird scripture to start off a service with, right? Kind of an odd one. I thought so too when the Lord gave it to me, but I think by the time we're done here today, the Lord's going to minister to us here and help us. You can go ahead and be seated in the will of the Lord. So as I was, we were at a dinner last year, and Brother Brownie had mentioned maybe having me to come to church and to have a word for you guys this upcoming year. And so I was just praying and seeking God and thinking, well, Lord, what would you have me to say to them? Because I don't know them. I don't know what they're going through. I don't know what's going on in their lives. But I want to hear from you, God. I want to have something from you. And I was falling asleep, and I didn't have anything specific. But the Lord brought to my mind that specific scripture. It was like he impressed it upon me. I didn't even know what the scripture said. So I opened it up, flipped it open, and I said, well, okay, what am I gonna do with that? So I thought, well, we'll just see and pray on it. And so I laid back down and started to fall asleep. And then he took me to John 3, verse 17 next. And so I flipped open my Bible on my phone, flipped to John 3, 17, and it says this: "For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved." Amen. And so I prayed about it, and I thought, "What God, what are you trying to say to me here?" And I realized that, you know what, no matter what your past, and despite your present circumstances, you can be used mightily by God. And so God was talking to this woman here at the well, and we'll get into a little bit of their conversation, but he was not calling her out or not talking to this situation to bring her down or to make her feel bad or to hurt her, but just call into reality what the current circumstance or situation is. And God is not here to condemn any of us. God is here to lift us up. He's here to help us and to bless us, to give us eternal life, that we could be with him forever. And so I'm so thankful we serve an awesome and a loving and a mighty God. And so I want to preach today a message entitled Lowly to Luminous. Lowly to Luminous. So hopefully it'll all make sense by the time we've finished up here. In Jesus' name. Well, let's take a look. My first point here that we're going to talk about today is where are you? Take a little bit of a stock of where we're at in our life. Where are you? What's your past? What's your current circumstance? And, you know, the Lord said this to Adam. When Adam fell into sin, he ended up transgressing, and he was... The Lord came to Adam in the cool of the garden in the day and said to him, "Adam, where are you?" You know, the Lord knew where Adam was, but it was a matter of Adam realizing where he was at. It was a matter of Adam understanding what had taken place and where he was at. And so God asked him that question, "Where are you?" And so I think the Lord would ask us today and want us to know, where are we at right now in our life? Where are we at in our circumstances? Where are we? Whether it's we've came here broken and hurting, whether we've come here maybe just lukewarm, or maybe even if we're here on fire, God wants us to take stock of what we're doing. And I think that he's got some awesome things planned for each and every person here in this church. And so let's take a look at this woman at the well. She was coming at the sixth hour of the day, which is about noon. And nobody else was there. And let me just back up, I guess, and set the stage here on this. So the Bible says that Jesus must needs go through Samaria. So Jesus was traveling. He was in Jerusalem for one of the feast days. And he was going back to his home neighborhood in Galilee. And on his way there, the Bible said that he must needs go through Samaria. I won't get into all the geography and the details and try to weigh us down with that this morning, but suffice to understand that Samaria was not an area that the Jews liked. It was not a people that the Jews liked, because the Samaritans had been taken away by the Assyrians, and the Assyrians brought in other people who would intermingle and intermarry with the Assyrians, and so they were supposedly a mixed religion, a mixed race, and the Lord must needs go through Samaria that day. And so while he didn't, the Jews wouldn't have gone through Samaria. They would have not necessarily gone through that particular part of the country. They would have actually gone around. They would have taken a different way around because they considered the Samaritans unclean for the reasons that I had just stated. But the Lord had a divine appointment with this woman. He had a purpose and a plan for her life. And as we're going to see, God used this woman in a wonderful way. And so here she was at this, here Jesus was at this well, and this woman comes, and she's coming there by herself. And I don't know about you guys, but women don't go anywhere by themselves. I mean, if you're out in a restaurant and you got a group of people, women go to the bathroom in a group. I don't understand it. I don't know why it takes so many people to go to the restroom, if it's just chatting or what it is they're doing, but women don't go anywhere by themselves. And so here this woman is, she's coming at the noon hour, she's coming by herself. This is something that they would do as a part of their culture, as a part of what they did, as they all went together to the well and they would gather the water that their family needed, that their different animals and stuff would need. And so she should have been going with other people, but she went during the hottest part of the day, and she went during a time that people wouldn't normally be there. And it was, and we find out why it was, is because of our opening scripture there. We find out later that this woman, you see, she had had five husbands. And even by today's standards, that's a lot of husbands for somebody to have. Five husbands, and the husband or the person that she was with at that moment was not even her husband. So she was living with somebody that she was not married to. And so no doubt she was coming to this well because she was in a tough place in her life. She had felt beat down by what happened to her in this world. She felt injured and hurt and didn't want to talk to anybody, didn't want to have to converse and have to rehash and go through the things that had taken place in her life to bring her to a place where she had had five different husbands and was staying with somebody that was not her husband. But the awesome thing is that Jesus loves us. Jesus will needs go through anywhere to meet with us, to touch us, and to help us, and to have a conversation with us. Amen? And so we see that Jesus came here and asked her for a drink. Now, this would have made him unclean. He would have, according to the Jews' religion, according to their statutes and the things that they did, asking a drink of this woman would have made him unclean by the day and standards in which they lived. And so he was willing to say to her, you know what? I'm coming to your level. I'm coming to where you're at right now. It doesn't matter what's going on in your life. I am willing to take a drink from you. I'm willing to have a conversation with you, which it doesn't matter what other people say about you. I want to have a moment with you. I want to have this time where I speak into your life and I talk with you. And it's so interesting that this is the longest conversation recorded in the Gospels. As I was preparing for this message, I found that out. And I don't think that's insignificant. I think that the Word of God is inspired and errant, and I think that the fact that God took so much attention to pull out this conversation that he had with this woman is important for us to realize. And so, you know, I was at a conference recently, and I heard a message, and the minister talked about how we have these unhealed wounds, that oftentimes in life, as we walk through life, whether we're walking with the Lord or without the Lord, wounds happen in our lives. And so in antiquity, in old times, people would suffer wounds on the battlefield, and more people would end up dying because of the wounds that they suffered on the battlefield later than actually dying on the battlefield itself. Part of the problem was is they would put the armor back on. They would put the armor that they were supposed to have that would protect them back on, and that they would get back out there, and then they would begin to fight again. And I wonder if there's maybe somebody here today that the Lord wanted to speak to, that there's some sort of an unhealed wound. There's something in your life where you haven't allowed the Lord to really touch you and heal that in your life. And you've put the armor back on. You've put back on the armor of God. You've come into church. You've been doing the right things. You've been doing what you should be doing, but you've become worn out. You've become weary. You've become even more injured, and you're perhaps at a place where you feel like giving up. But I'm telling you here today, it's this song we were just singing about. We serve a healing God. Amen? We serve a God that can heal every wound, who can take away every pain. He took those stripes before he went to the cross for a reason, for our healing. And I am so thankful that we serve a God that heals. And I think one of the worst ways that we can be injured is from the words that people have spoken to us. Amen? People could physically hurt us. And I think sometimes we would rather get punched in the gut. We would rather get slapped in the face than some of the words that have perhaps been spoken over our lives. Some of the things that people have said to you to hurt you, to tear you down, and to make you feel like you aren't something that is to be desired, make you feel like you are not something or somebody that can do anything for God. The Bible says this in Proverbs 18:21. It says, "Death and life are in the power of the tongue." Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. There's death and there's life in the power of our tongues. The things that we say to people can either elevate them, can lift them up, can speak life into their lives, or in the reverse, we can take them down. We can hurt them. We can injure them. And I know, and I, you know, in my own life, people have said things that have hurt me. People have said things that have made me feel like I wasn't valuable. You know, and I know this has probably happened to so many people here. And, you know, our pastor talked and he gave a message called, "What Are You Going to Call It?" What are you going to call it? And it comes from the scripture, Genesis 2, verses 19. Genesis 2, verses 19. It says this, "And out of the ground the Lord formed every beast of the field, every fowl of the air, and he brought them unto Adam to see what he would call them. And whatsoever Adam called every living creature, that was the name thereof." God gave power and dominion to Adam. To the things that he called it, that's what it was. The word that he spoke over it, that's what it was. God gave power to our tongues, and the things that we speak, they give life and they give death. And so I felt so strongly, you know, just as I was preparing this message for today, that there's some things that have been spoken over you, some things that have hurt you and injured you. And I just want to take a moment here in this service. If we could maybe just pause and maybe you can lay your hand on your heart, because we need to break the power of those words that were spoken over us, because there is power in those words. And so in Jesus' name, Lord, we love you and we thank you, God. We know that those are not your thoughts towards us. God, we know that those are not your words over us, God. And so in the name of Jesus Christ, right now, I break the power of those words of negativity that were spoken over this people. I break the power of those unkind words that were spoken. I break the power in the name of Jesus Christ of those destructive words, of those harmful words. In Jesus' name, I cast out those words. I curse those words of destruction in the name of Jesus Christ and pray for freedom over myself and for over this group of believers, everyone here under the sound of my voice, that they would be free from the words of negativity that were spoken over them. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Why don't we give a hand clap? Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. And so God can and will and wants to use each and every one of us. And if you don't feel like you completely got to where you needed to be or wanted to be, with the release of God there, when we open up these altars later, I want you to come forward and just continue to seek God, because I know he will give you the deliverance from many of those things. And is it okay just at this moment if I just share a little bit of a personal testimony? See, I didn't grow up in an apostolic church. I don't have an apostolic heritage, and I wasn't running the aisles as a child. I didn't experience and know that you could really feel the power of God when people worship and praise him together. I didn't know that we served, that there was a God that could heal people, that could help them, that could deliver them. It was just something that, you know, we went to church, but it was a ritual. We went to church, and it was just something that we did, and it was a mainline denominational church, and I'm not here to disparage or look down on. I'm thankful for everybody that's seeking God. But there's so much more that he has for us, right? There's so many more things that even for us as apostolics that God wants to reveal to us and show to us and take her to deeper levels in us. But I want you to know, I stand here today and I'm preaching to you guys, but I wasn't always being used of God. You see, there was a time in my life where I was a drinker. You know, it starts out, you're just doing it with a couple friends and it's every once in a while, but as the Bible says, the wages of sin is death. And so you start down a path and you get going on things and you do things that you don't want to or didn't expect that you would do. And eventually I got to a place where I was drinking all the time. I was an alcoholic and I couldn't get deliverance, couldn't get release from that. But I'm so thankful that we serve a God that can release us from anything, that can help us and deliver us from anything. You see, my wife, she's here with us today as well. As you know, she came up here, but there was a time in her life, and she said it was okay to share this, when she grew up, that she started hanging out with the wrong crowd. And you know, hanging out with the wrong crowd can do. She got into drugs, and she ended up dropping out of high school. And the things that went on in her life and spiraled and things happened that brought her to places that she didn't want to be. And she was on she had anxiety when I first met her. She had to be on anxiety medicine, and there was just a tremendous weight that was on her life. And so God delivered her as well. Here were these couple of broken people. Here were these couple of people that the world chewed up. The world had injured and hurt. And so I can understand this woman at this well. I can kind of see where she's coming from, where she came up to that well and didn't want to talk to people and was in a place in her life where she was hurt and wounded and injured, because we were there. But we're so thankful that God delivers. We're so thankful that God can help us. And I wanted to share that today because I believe that there's people in this place that you're thinking, maybe I can't be used to God. You know, I've got this past. I've got these things that went on in my life. I've got these circumstances. And even where I'm at right now, there's just no way I could see myself up there preaching or delivering the word of the Lord. I can't see myself being on the praise team or helping as an usher or doing any of these other things and other ministries that I know that you guys are doing in this community. But the fact is that's a lie. You know what? You can do something for God. God can help you. God can deliver you, and God wants to do that today. And so my first point there was just to have us understand and realize, hey, where are you right now? What's your past? What's your current circumstance? But then my next point is this. Leave it behind. Leave it behind. Amen? You see, when this woman had this encounter with Jesus at the well, the Bible says that she left her water pot. The whole reason that she came to this well in the first place was to get some water, was to come and get that water. But when she had that encounter with Jesus, she left it behind and she decided to go back into the town and to talk to the people that she knew about Jesus Christ and this encounter that she had with Jesus. So despite the fact that she had this past, God used her to speak to these Samaritan people. And, you know, it's so interesting to see, and just let me back up there for a second. The things that God revealed to her are amazing. You know, God will, when we get to a place where we're broken and we're willing to just sit down with Jesus, he will talk with us and he will reveal things to us and he will speak into our lives. He talked to her and told her about this living water, the Holy Ghost, that was going to eventually, that we would be able to have this Holy Ghost, this living water, that we would never thirst again. And it was a whole conversation on that. But even more than that, he revealed to this woman who he was, that he was the Christ, that he was the Messiah. And it was such an amazing thing when you look at that conversation. And the woman says in John 4, verse 25, it says, "The woman saith to him, I know that Messiah come, and which is called Christ. And when he has come, he will teach us all things." So Jesus said unto her in verse 26, "I that speak to you am he." Now if you look in the Greek there, that, or if even in your Bible, you'll see that word "he" is not actually there. It's a italicized words, and those words are put in there by the translators. You can take them or you can leave them if you think it helps you understand the text. But Jesus was saying, "I am." He was revealing to her that I am. I'm not just the Messiah. I am the I am. And it's when you look back and you see in Exodus 3, verse 14, God speaks to Moses and tells him to say to the children of Israel, I am hath sent me unto you. And so she would have known and she would have recognized, okay, ooh, what's this guy saying here? He is saying something pretty profound. And in John chapter 8, verse 58, he's talking to some individuals here. And Jesus said, verily, verily, I say unto thee, before Abraham was, I am. And then they took up stones to cast at him. So they realized what he was saying. Why else would they want to stone him other than the fact that he was revealing, before Abraham was, I am. See, I am the mighty God, robed in flesh. And they took up stones and wanted to cast on him. But before these religious leaders even got this revelation and understanding, this woman at the well got an understanding of who Jesus was. And so when we have an encounter with God, when we hear about this living water, when we hear the fact that we can receive the Holy Ghost, that we can speak with other tongues as the Spirit gives the utterance, when we understand that Jesus was the mighty God in Christ, that in him dwelt all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, we can become powerful. We can become witnesses to other people. We can take that encounter and that experience and do something with it. The Bible teaches, Jesus teaches these parables, the pearl of a great price and a treasure hidden in a field, trying to get us to understand that when we find truth, when we get a revelation of God, we got to buy that. We got to get a hold of that. We got to take that and run with it. Amen. And I heard this spoken by a preacher, Brother Stark, and it was worth noting, and I think it fits well here. And it says this: God is not as interested in your location as he is in the direction of your travel. God is not as interested in your location as he is in the direction of your travel. Amen. So this woman left her water pot. She started traveling. She went back to the Samaritans. And she told them, come and see a man who told me all that I ever did. And I'm sure they were probably like, oh boy, here's this woman. Come see a man. Now, is this number seven here? What's going on? But no, she kept saying it. You know what? It doesn't miss. Before she had to slink to the well. Before she had to come in ashamed. But she didn't. When she got a revelation of who God was, when she got an understanding and had an experience with Jesus, no, none of that mattered anymore. Now, come and see a man who told me all that I ever did. Come and see this person. Is this the Christ? Come and experience him for yourself. Amen. And so they did. The testimony that she said and that she talked to them, they came to see what was going on. They came to see what this was all about. And so Jesus, this encounter that he had with the Samaritans, he actually ended up staying with them for 2 days. 2 days that he spent with these Samaritans, talking to them, being with them. And these people were blessed. This entire area was blessed because of this one woman and her testimony. Don't underestimate the power of what one person can do. Don't underestimate the power of what your testimony can do. You can turn an entire neighborhood to the Lord Jesus Christ through the power of your testimony, through the encounter that you have had with the Lord Jesus Christ. You can do something powerful just like this woman. See, the Bible says they overcame by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. They overcame by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. See, people can argue theology. They can try to get stuck in all kinds of mismatched things on what this says or what that doesn't says or what the original Greek is, but they can't argue with your testimony. They can't argue with the fact that God delivered you. They saw you drinking before. They saw you doing drugs before. They saw you doing all kinds of nasty things, bad things, but now they see you cleaned up. They see you living a life that's different. They see you coming to church. They see you getting a job that's helping people, and that you're giving your money to church, and that you're giving money to help others, and they see something going on, and they think, man, what is going on with this person that I used to run with? Man, what is going on in their life that they have turned around so miraculously, and they're not living the way they used to live? They're not going to the places they used to go. They're not doing the things that they used to do. Well, God delivered you. God helped you. He can do that, and he will do that. And then he will take that testimony, and he will use it for his glory. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Oh, I'm so thankful. So thankful for the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. And you know what? I'm here today, just another sinner saved by grace. I'm here today speaking to you as somebody who used to do all those things, but I don't do those things anymore. I used to go those places, and I don't go those places anymore. And I'm not here to glorify or magnify myself. No, no, I was in a low place, and I had an encounter with Jesus, and he helped me. He delivered me. All those things I used to do, man, I thought they were fun at the time. But no, no, I could get excited, and I would jump, and I would get excited and dance in a bar. I would get excited and jump and dance at a Packer game. Well, now what? You know what? I'm not coming to a church to just sit here and say, hallelujah, praise the Lord, and not do anything. No, I want to dance. I want to jump. I want to shout. I want to give God the praise. If I could dance in the bar, I can dance in the church. Hallelujah. If I could shout a woo when Aaron Rodgers scores a touchdown, then I can shout a hallelujah, woo! When Jesus delivers somebody at this altar, when Jesus scores a touchdown in somebody's life and helps them and delivers them and gives them something eternal that makes a significant difference for the rest of their life. Amen. Amen. The church is the best thing going. It is. It is the best thing going. Whatever this world has to offer, whatever this world is trying to sell you, it's nothing compared to the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm excited about living life now. I'm excited about what God is doing in my life. I'm excited about what I see God doing in and through the church. I've excited to come to this place and see you guys worshiping and praising God and being a part of something here. Oh my goodness, it is going to last for eternity. This isn't just, you know what, a temporary thing where you have a night in a bar and you get worn down and you don't feel good the next day. But I leave a church and I feel excited. I feel empowered. I feel helped and delivered. And I thank the Lord. I just thank the Lord. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, glory to God. We serve an awesome God. We serve an awesome God. He can take somebody who was lowly, and he can make them luminous. You see, this woman at the well, the Bible doesn't specifically call out or say what her name is. We don't know from the Word of God what her name is, but I looked a little bit into church history and tried to research her and see what else there might be about her. And looking at church history and tradition, I found out that this woman, upon her baptism, after Jesus' resurrected and after the Holy Ghost was poured out, this woman also experienced that. You see, she was in the area of Samaria that received the revival in Acts 8. You can go read about the revival that took place in Acts 8. And when she was baptized, as so often was the case in that area in that time, she took a name change. And I remember Brother Brownie a little while back preaching about how God will change your name. And so she took this name at her baptism called Photina. And it means luminous or luminous one. And aren't you so thankful? God can take a life. This woman had had how many husbands? This woman that was living, shacking up with somebody who wasn't her husband. This woman who was beat down. And he made her luminous. He made this woman something that she could have never thought that she would be, something that she never could have imagined could happen with her life. But he took her and he changed her life around. And if the musicians could come at this time, I'm gonna go ahead and close on this because I'm so thankful that God can take a life and change it. God can take a life that's become dirty and marred and injured, and he can make us luminous. He can deliver us. He can help us. And if you're in that spot here today, you came to the right place. You came to the right place today. If you came to this place hurt, if you came to this place feeling like people don't understand, people are talking about me, people are saying these things over my life, and I don't want to hear it anymore. I don't want to feel this anymore. God is here to touch you today. God is here to minister to you today. God is here to help you today. God is here to make you luminous. God is here to do something powerful in your life. So we see that revival took place. You can read about it in Acts 8. And according to church history, this woman, Photina, then went on to become a missionary. She went to Africa and the areas of Carthage and around in Africa and so on. And she became somebody that helped others. She became somebody that was an evangelist and did a work for God. She was eventually imprisoned and sentenced to death by Nero, who came to power and became martyred. But what an awesome testimony her life is. Somebody that is broken down and hurt and injured. Somebody that had to come to the well at noon because she didn't want to be around other people. But God helped her and he touched her. He changed her life around. And I want to just restate again my main point here today, that no matter what your past is, no matter what your past is, and despite whatever your present circumstances are, you can be used mightily by God. I'm going to open up this altar in just a moment here, but I also want to say this. No matter what your past is, if you have been doing good things for God, if you've been living for God and all kinds of things have been going on that God has been doing through your life, you know what? The best is yet to come. God has got us alive at this time for a reason. God has got us alive, and in this church, you are here today because God wants to make a difference in Milwaukee. And so let me tell you, you can leave your past behind too. You did great things before, but man, Jesus did some awesome things. He raised people from the dead. He put hands on blind eyes and they received sight. Oh my goodness, he did all kinds of, he walked on water. He helped people that were lame from their youth to rise up and walk. He did all these things, and he said, greater things will you do than these. Because he went to the Father, and because he sent his Holy Spirit, his Spirit comes and dwells inside of us. So he's empowered us to do great things. And so I want to open up these altars here today. I want you to come forward if you have something that you felt that like I've spoken to you in your life and that God is maybe wanting to do something deeper in you. Maybe you're just excited about what God's got going on in your life, but you want to see more. You want to see revival here in Milwaukee. You want to see some awesome things take place for God. Well, I tell you what, this altar is open. Leave it behind. Get a hold of God afresh here. Have a new experience with him here today. If you came to this place hurt or injured, sort of like this woman at the well, if you came feeling like the world has beat you down, the Lord Jesus Christ is here to help you today. He is here to deliver you today. And I want you to know that he will help you. He is here in this place. He's here every time and everywhere that we go. His presence is always there in our life. But there's something that happens when we draw near to him. Lord, the Bible says, when we draw near to him, he draws near to us. And so please come here and seek the Lord. Or if you feel comfortable, you can stay in the place where you're at. But I just want you to reach out to him right now. I just want you to thank him for the presence that you've felt here in this place as we've worshiped. Thank you. Thank him if he's spoken a word to you through the word that's gone forth here today. I pray, Lord Jesus, just have your way with the rest of this service, God. I pray that you would touch these people, that you would bless them, and that you would minister unto them. God, I pray, God, that any wounds that have taken place, that they would be healed here, God, today. Lord, any words that were spoken over their lives that have been destructive and hurt, I don't want them to leave this place, God, without having the deliverance from those things. Lord, I want them to hear the words of Jesus Christ, the words of goodness and life and healing spoken over them. Lord, I don't want anybody to leave this place without a fresh touch, a fresh anointing from God to go do the work that you have called them to do in this city, in this church, and through this community. God, you have given gifts and talents and abilities to each and every person in this place, God. Oh, God, draw those things out. Draw them out of them, God. Help them to see the things that you have placed in them, God. Use their testimony, God. Use their testimonies for good, God. Use the things that you've done, Lord, and delivered them from to help them, God, to minister to others, Lord. Your word talks about how we can comfort others with the comfort wherewith we have been comforted.